Radio.
We are back with the all-new Three Amigos MMA podcast from London. I'm here, Alan, with Leo.
Hey, guys.
And we've got our man Eric on the phone in Germany. How's it going, Eric?
Oh, great, man. Good to be back. Fresh new look. Nice and positive. The Three Amigos. The dawn of a new era, gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, we've even got a mic this time, guys. Stepping up our game. Well, I mean, what an event to come back to. We've been away for a little bit. Formerly Notorious MMA Podcast, you know, for about a year. We had a good run of shows on that. Feel free to go back and listen to them. But today we are hitting you upside the head with two amazing title fights to talk about. We've got Francis the Predator and Ngannou was stepping in as the number one contender against Stipe Miocic for the heavyweight title. We've also got Daniel Cormier defending his, or was it vacant? We'll get to that. His light heavyweight title against Volkan Ozdemir. We've got a hell of a card underneath to talk about. Overall, what did you guys think of this event? I mean,
yeah, man, I very much enjoyed this event. We had it all. We had lots of knockouts. Great rap, 5-round wars, 3-round wars. Mm-hmm. Everyone lived up to it. The main event was exciting, good fun to watch. Lots of brutal hits all round, but we'll go into more detail later.
Yeah, man. I mean, for me, the crowd was really good this whole event. Really chanting, getting behind people.
Oh, man. Every time they go to Boston, it's got the best crowds. Yeah. I mean, it's like the Irish over in the UK, but, you know, a kind of American version over in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah, so it wasn't hard to stay up for this one in London at 6 a.m. when it finished.
Yeah, it went by quick, this event.
Yeah, man. Damn solid event. It's always good. The Boston events are always good ones, like you said, because of the crowd. It was a solid card, man. Some really good fights in the prelims, some technical fights in the main card, and new title fights, and they were both really fucking good. So, yeah, solid card.
Right, so let's waste no time, and we're going to get straight into the main event for the heavyweight title. The Predator, number one contender against Stipe Miocic.
Beat the guy, you know, that I couldn't beat, so it made it that much sweeter. This guy's a phenom, he's one in a million, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? He lost. He lost to a Midwest boy that's 40 pounds lighter than him, and I'm the greatest heavyweight. I defended it 3 times, no one's ever done that. What the hell? Man, there was shit on me, dude. I was like, oh my god, you're knocked down the first round. Oh my god, well, guess what? That's still mine. I ain't going nowhere.
So I'll ask you flat out, do you feel like Dana White doesn't respect you?
I don't know. I don't really care. Soldiers right there, my family. They all respect me. I respect them. They come with me. We go to war. No matter what happens, win, lose, or draw, that's my family. It wasn't about him, it was about me. Because I'm the champ. I broke the record. I'm the best.
Seem a little fired up.
If he respects me, I respect him. End of story.
So the big boys, Miocic versus Ngannou. What a fight. I mean, the expectation going into this was incredible. We had a big, scary dude called the Predator. Going up against, you know, the solid champion, Stipe. The cardio king, you know, he just puts it on people every time he fights. And going into this, it was hard to call it. But we had a 5-round decision, which surprised many people, I'd say, in favor of Stipe Miocic, yeah. And still champion.
Mm-hmm. These are two guys who are known for knocking people out in the first round. I definitely didn't see a 5-round battle on this one.
No one did.
But you got to say, I've never really seen anyone gas as badly as Ngannou did after that first round. He changed. He was a different guy after that.
Man.
He could barely pick up his arms after that point. But what a first round, though. He got to say, like, both looked so rocky at different points in that first
round. That was the danger round for Stipe.
That was, man. That was all fireworks that round. And Stipe's face was rearranged. He had this massive black eye, dents in his face, man. He was bleeding. And then Ngannou's face has totally dropped because he had no air left in him. He couldn't even walk, man. But he did well. You know, he was a bigger, stronger guy. You know, you could see if he could keep that cardio going.
It was
ragdolling Stipe a bit at the beginning. You know, he was just flipping him around and throwing him off and just getting up to his feet. But that didn't last long, man. Stipe is just an animal. He found his opening. He saw the target and just kept landing and hitting him.
Yeah, Eric, what do you think?
Man, much as Leo called it, man, it was a really good fight. I think Miocic just had perfect game plan. I thought that was the one way you could beat Ngannou, is take him to deep water, take him to places he ain't ever been with. And I have to say a couple of things. I was really disappointed in Ngannou when he hit the mat. I mean, I know he was absolutely gasping for air. He was really tired. But he looked like a rotten amateur on the ground, didn't he? He didn't do anything, defensively, correctly.
Absolutely no ground game. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to hook any legs or get into half guard or anything like that.
He didn't have the energy. Maybe he knows, but he's never been in there with someone like Stipe.
Yeah, he didn't seem to have the knowledge for me. He just knew how to use his strength and throw people off, and that's all he really knows on the ground.
Yeah, he was a fish out of water on his
back.
But
that's the thing, he's never needed to do that ground stuff, I guess. So I think I'd be excited to see what an evolved Ngannou would do if he does work on that and improves his cardio now. You know, everyone's allowed to lose, and it's about how you bounce back and learn from those mistakes that you made.
Oh, that's absolutely true, man. I totally agree with you. Like, I'm not giving up hope on Ngannou, man. Yeah. I still think he probably is the future of the heavyweight division. He's still very new in the game, and he will improve. But I have to say, man, like, everyone was, you know, hyping up Ngannou, and all the attention was on him, and people saying Dana White wanted him to win. Stipe even coming out and saying he felt disrespected by Dana White. Dana White clearly wanted Ngannou to win, but Stipe Miocic is a G, man. He defended his belt for 3 times. He becomes the all-time most title defences as a heavyweight champion. So he sets the record, and man, in his fucking post-fight interview, he was absolutely fired up, man. He was proper fired up because he felt disrespected. And so I just got to give mad props to him. He did an amazing job, Stipe. And it was a super fun fight to watch. And they might have a rematch down the line, who knows?
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. I feel like this could be a really good thing for Ngannou's career. Mm-hmm. When you have that kind of power, you know, you just need to like sharpen up the rest of your game, and he's going to be a serious threat for years to come. But the cardio was a massive botch on his part.
Yeah, so work there. I mean, you've seen it in the old days. The big muscly guys never last long.
Yeah,
they never do. So you definitely need to work on that cardio game in this day and age, and to become a champion.
Yeah, but like you said, props to Stipe. I picked him in my prediction before this. Like Joe Rogan said, you know, there's levels to this stuff, you know, and he's just a level above. And we're going to kind of echo what we say here in the DC Uzdemir fight, which is interesting. But just blown away by this fight. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
Yeah.
Ngannou still had power, you know, even in the third, fourth round. Not the fourth, because in the fourth round, they set the record, didn't it? Stipe landed 82-0 strikes on Ngannou.
Oh, yeah. Well,
which was fucking unbelievable. I mean, he didn't land a punch and took that much punishment. Were you guys surprised that Stipe didn't finish the fight?
I would have expected him to finish it at some point, but he seemed happy to just sit on him and pummel him on this one.
Yeah.
You know?
He took enough shots to know the risk was still there, I think.
Yeah, he did. That first round was a killer. And even throughout the next rounds, there were moments where Ngannou would land a random punch, and you kind of jumped in your seat and got scared. You know, it looked like he was going to go down.
Miocic was looking for that leg, innit?
Yeah.
He was so smart, Miocic. He, like, from the opening bell, he was so aware and smart. Like, that's what I love about him. He adapts, and he really does his homework on people.
Yeah, yeah, he's a smart fighter.
Yeah, and he's more well-rounded. It was a great performance. But yeah, you have to say, man, Ngannou really rocked him, man. that first round. He only like clipped him. He didn't catch anything too flush. And he was just fucking his face up, wasn't he? He still had that power. Even in the third round, he clocked him a couple of times. So, like, on paper, maybe I would have been surprised that the fight went the way it did. But what I was watching made total sense, because Miocic, like, even though he was in total control for most of the fight, he was, like, really rocked, man. Those glancing blows that Ngannou landed did damage, some serious damage. So I wasn't surprised that he didn't finish him. He was really clever. He just proper wore on him, and he knew he was going to get a decision. So that was a good performance from him.
But yeah, for me, I was just surprised with the risk that Ngannou offers, that when he was on top in total control, he didn't really go for it.
Yeah.
But to be fair, like the commentator said, he was beating up a guy so much bigger than him. I mean, a guy that cuts to 265 compared to Stipe, who I'm sure would be happy in like a 220 range division. I think he said that before as well. So.
225, I think he said he wanted a division made there, which is an interesting.
Yeah, idea. It's such a big gap, isn't it, from 205?
It's a huge jump, yeah.
Massive.
To 265? I mean, he's talking about beast like versus man, like sometimes.
Yeah.
It's insane. For sure. Like, and Brock really raised the bar with that, like sort of taking advantage of the weight limit and staying like in good shape. He kind of like brought that in. It was quite slow and heavy before that. I mean, there's a lot to talk about still. I mean, the entrances.
Quality.
Just unbelievable. I mean, Stipe was so focused coming out.
Yeah.
As well. Both of them were. Both of them were. It was the biggest fight of their lives.
I got to give a shout out to that dude wearing the Predator mask in the front row.
Yes.
Ngannou came out. That was a great mask, mate. Man. We were like...
We had to rewind that just to double check. Oh man, that cracked me up. That was a true fan right there, a diehard Predator fan.
Definitely, yeah.
So shout outs to him, definitely, yeah. But yeah, just a great fight. Like I said, I love the post fight interview with Stipe. I mean, straight away he's kind of like, yeah, forget about this fight. I'm having a baby.
I just love the way Stipe shouts, man. He sounds like something out of an angry Sesame Street you can kick off or something, you know?
Do you remember when he beat Verdum and he jumped over the cage and was like, I'm the heavyweight champion! I'm the heavyweight champion! He's just, He's just
so real, isn't he?
Yeah, he's so real, so down to earth, man. And he's enjoying every moment. At the same time, he, like we said, he's just another level, man.
Yeah. He's a real man's man.
And I mean, the big question is like, there's not many contenders in the heavyweight division.
Yeah, I mean, there was mention from DC about Cain Velasquez.
Of course.
And that's one fight I really want to see still. I want to see Cain come back and fight Stipe.
Stipe's beaten the other contenders, Verdum, Overeem. So that would make sense.
Yeah, Cain's the one for me. I think he is the best heavyweight around, but I want to see him fight Stipe. He could prove me wrong.
Cain Stipe, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And just to pitch in there, like, I totally agree that Stipe is probably one of the nicest, genuine people on the whole UFC roster, and he strikes you as such a good lad.
Yeah.
And a wholesome man. So, yeah, so happy for him. Really interesting. Cain Velasquez, yeah, you've said that for a while, Lee. I remember you talking about that last year. You wanted to see that fight.
Yeah.
What would be interesting is that they have quite a similar style of fighting, and it would be to see who truly is the best, you know?
Yeah.
That would be a sick fight to see.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be all over the place, you know, good wrestlers and strikers at the same time.
Yeah, be the Croatian cardio versus the Velasquez cardio, the Mexican cardio.
Mexican heat.
That does not give up, man. Like, I mean, yeah, that's going to be a real fight, man. Like, hopefully Cain stays healthy.
Yeah, he's had a lot of shoulder problems, hasn't he?
But for me, what got me excited, and this will spoil the next fight we're going to talk about, DC Ozdemir. Obviously, DC retained as well in amazing fashion. But the big talk now that the fans are talking about is a super fight between Stipe and Daniel Cormier.
Mm.
And I think that's something we'd all love to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, DC said before, you know, he was a great heavyweight when he fought at that division. He was undefeated. He only dropped down because of Cain Velasquez.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's clearly he kind of wants to give Cain Velasquez that heavyweight title fight as well. You know, he's backing up his friend and he knows that's his division. So I'd have to question whether he actually will do it. It'd be great to see that super fight. I'd love to see it happen.
I think it depends on Cain, like you said.
And I think DC's busy with a rematch of Gustafsson now as well.
Yeah.
That sounds likely. So
That would be a sick super fight, no doubt. But yeah, like we'll talk about it in more detail in a minute. But DC said in his post fight interview about Cain coming back. And so I agree with Leo. He's gonna let Stipe fight Cain rather than
him
fight himself, I'd
imagine. Listen, yeah, man. Like, right now, dude, I don't care. Like, I just got done with a fight, like, 45 minutes ago or an hour ago, whatever it was. 25 hard minutes with a tough dude. I don't really care what's going on right now. Just want to go home, see my dogs, hang out with my wife.
Again, just an amazing fight, like you said, from the Shakira entrance to that last moment when Ngannou finished his interview and lifted up his hands to say thanks to the crowd in super slow motion. He was absolutely...
He's a star, mate. He has to do this.
He was absolutely dead on his feet.
He was. He could only, like, say three words, but he sounded so humble and pure himself.
Yes.
I mean, Gannon also strikes me as a quality guy.
Huh? Yes, yeah. It was great to see Miocic give him a moment as well and say, you know, look at this guy I'm fighting here. You know?
Yeah, that was real respect there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I also loved how, like you said, Eric, about all the talk going in about maybe Dana and the UFC would like Ngannou to win because he might be more marketable.
Mm-hmm.
But straight away, Miocic, at the end, the first thing he says to Joe Rogan, I might not be the scariest man on the planet, but I'm the baddest man on the planet.
I'm here right now with the baddest man on the planet, the UFC heavyweight champion, Stipe Miocic.
I mean, I'm not the scariest, but I'm the baddest.
You're the baddest. It's unquestionably.
Oh, it's not matter to me. You're a tough dude. It's hard. Call me the first round. My own fault, but after that, I took control.
Sick quote to start the year, isn't it? Sick one. Already.
Loved it. Loved it. So we'll move on to the co-main event now. Cool. So the next fight in the co-main event, to me, this was just as good as the main event. Daniel Cormier coming back after that big loss to Jon Jones. And defending his title, likewise to Stipe, against an up-and-comer in the division that's knocking out everyone, Volkan Ozdemir. This was an entertaining fight, to say the least. I mean, Ozdemir really impressed me. He was really coming for the KO again in the first round.
Yeah.
And it was a bit rocky at times, I thought, for DC. Didn't you think?
Yeah, for that opening round, it was really back and forth. Mm. You know, you were like, watch out, DC, you know, because you noticed the height difference at the beginning, man. And Volkan was landing those hands really well. He's got great stand-up. And when he connects, it's very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
You could see the look on DC's face. He didn't like the feel of how hard those punches were at the beginning.
No.
But he found his focus and he found his range. And he,
by the end of the round,
yeah,
it was all different.
By the end of the round, he was taking him down. You know, he was jabbing him in the face and hitting him with a good right hand.
He found his range.
Yeah, really well.
And you could see the shots come in. And again, it was just like the experience just kicked in.
Yeah.
And he almost smiled at Ozdemir after one, as if to say, all right, I think I figured you out now. And then he stepped it up into DC wrestle mode.
Yeah, he used that grappling, that wrestling.
Khabib was cheering him on and he just took over. I mean, the single leg takedowns, the trip. I mean, yeah, again, the if there was 5-10 seconds left in the first round, he would have won by rear naked choke.
He jumped on his back. It was amazing. Like, really clean. Choked him out, or nearly, like, he had
it was
tight around his neck.
It was there. It was
but yeah, got saved by the bell. He didn't get more than a few seconds on it.
Mm.
I mean, it was interesting because for both the main event and the co-main event, the first round were actually quite similar to what was going on with the sort of two rising stars attacking the tried and tested UFC champion, the vet. And that first round, they were put in danger, especially at the beginning. Volkan Ozdemir was throwing these haymakers, and he looks like he punches fucking hard. But before I go into the analysis, I just wanted to say, Leahy, you had a bit of a problem with this being the co-main event. You feel like maybe DC's getting a bit, they're getting too much love out there, man.
I just thought it was harsh. Like, I know what they're trying to do, that, and I love it that they're trying to give us a packed card with double title fights.
Yeah.
But I just felt DC deserves his own one. So, I don't know though, you know.
Do you think he does get disrespected?
I don't think he gets disrespected, but I do think it's fair because he did lose to John Jones. And I really like DC. So I really wanted him to get his main event, you know, and really get the spotlight, you know. He kind of didn't get much hype in the promotion to this.
Yeah, he was overshadowed by Ngannou,
which was a great fight, you know, and it's the more attractive fight to the casuals, I suppose. Uzdemir doesn't sell as well as the big African KO king, you know.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. No, you're right. But yeah, so just going back to that fight, like, to be perfectly honest, it actually went fairly similar to what I thought it would. Of course, Ozdemir, you know, posed some problems and some threats. But yeah, DC definitely is a cut above. He's a level above Ozdemir, very, very clearly, man. He's an incredibly skilled fighter. He's so well-rounded and so dominant once he gets his mitts around you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going for a ride and you're getting up easy.
I feel like DC warms up as the fight goes along. And again,
also true. Yeah.
Again, cardio was the big issue in this fight. After one round, it was a one-sided fight, and you know, he could have dragged it out for five if he wanted the round.
I'm just getting warmed up. Their spirit is dead. If they ever had one, it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, DC's so comfortable on the ground and with the grappling. There's no kind of other light heavyweights who can really match that.
Nowhere near.
Yeah, you know, John Jones has got his different ways of handling it, you know, people like that. But it's not the wrestling of DC, you know, he's the one who can wrestle in that division.
Yeah, definitely, man. He's different level, man. He's a world-class wrestler, for sure. But I was glad you finished it as well. It put a little bit more of a statement, and I think DC needed to put a bit of a statement. And the fact that he finished him so handily in that second round, like in that crucifix, just raining down punches.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That was the Lord's crucifix right there.
Crucify you.
Ozdemir was in hell, like, for about a minute.
There was no way out from that.
Yeah. I mean, I said to Leo, as soon as he got it on, I said, I'll give you a tenner if he can get out of this.
Yeah.
That was just insane. Like you said, he really put a stamp on it. Like he said in his post-fight interview, you know, he felt like this was the vacant title, and he is now the champion again. And I love that attitude, you know, he's so humble, you know, he's accepted the loss, which was heartbreaking, like he spoke about in the press conference and everything.
Yeah.
Like, it really meant a lot to him to get back and get this fight. And then at the same time, you know, he's so humble, he shouts out Ozdemir, you know, like, you took a piece from me tonight, like, you know, and you're going to be someone to watch in the future.
Mm.
Gave his respect to John Jones. Again, he doesn't have to blow smoke up Jones' ass, but he does.
Mm.
And I just love him as a character, you know, he put over all of his teammates, you know, and hyped up their fights. So everyone's kind of like rooting for that team now, like, you know, I kind of feel.
Yeah. DC's a true role model type guy, man. Mm. He knows how to present himself. He's good to listen to, and he performs, man. You can't doubt that he always gives it his all in every fight. And he normally always gives a great fight as well.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. That post-fight interview was one of the classiest. One of the classiest I've ever heard. It was really genuine as well. So fair play to DC.
You find the winner by TKO and still the undisputed UFC light heavyweight champion of the world, Daniel DC Cormier.
Go through a lot of stuff, man, and it's because of my greatest rival, but it feels good to get back in here and get a victory.
When you say it's because of your greatest rival, what do you mean by that?
You know, I've lost twice to John Jones. As I came into this fight, I said I felt as though I was fighting for a vacant title again because he beat me last time. and I fought for a vacant title, and I got the job done, so I'm the UFC champion again.
Now, DC, you almost had it in the beginning of the first round. You said, excuse me, the end of the first round, you said coming into this fight, there's levels to this game, and you didn't feel like Volkan was on your level. You proved that here tonight.
I proved that I am worthy of being called champion, but Volkan's on the level. Every guy that makes it to this point is on the level. Volkan Ozdemir, I leave a piece of myself with every opponent, and I'm glad you can take a piece back with you to Switzerland. You did a fantastic job, young man. And I train at the best team in all of mixed martial arts, the American Kickboxing Academy. I love my team. I love my partners, managers. Khabib Nurmagomedov gets a title in a couple of months. And by the end of the year, El Campeon del Mundo, Cain Velasquez, is going to be fighting for the UFC heavyweight title again. And he will be the champion.
Daniel Cormier, congratulations, my friend. It was beautiful.
He wasn't blowing smoke up John Jones' ass. He was just recognizing the truth. And an honest man is something I've got a lot of respect for. So respect to DC.
Yeah, and we'll see Ozdemir again. I'm sure he'll learn from this. He's young and he'll be back.
No doubt.
I mean, how do you think Jimmy would have done in this fight if he got that win in California?
Would have been the same story, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think DC would have used his wrestling and smashed him down.
I think it would have been about a round and a half less.
He's trying to run some stupid jokes like he can pick on me, but that's not happening. I don't get picked on. For me, it's just one punch, one shot, one kill, you know, and he knows that as well. So he's trying to front it and see if he can get into my mind, but that's not happening.
I mean,
that's
love Jimmy Manoa, you know, but like we said, there's just another level, it's just the experience is so much, you know, and it's like the will to win, that wrestler's heart, that grind that they have.
Yeah.
It's gonna take a John Jones to beat him, or, you know, like you said, there's a lot of fights now, like, you know, to make, like, in the light heavyweight division. Unfortunately, you know, he's beaten all of them, DC.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have Gustafsson on the up and up.
Yeah.
And that would be a great fight. He said it was his toughest fight ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think easily that's the next fight. That should be the next fight. No question for me.
Yeah. But if you had the choice of Stipe versus DC...
Augustinson versus DC.
Or me as a fan?
You as a fan, Stipe DC or Gustafsson gets the shot?
For me, Gustafsson, man. I'm a bit more of a traditionalist in this sense. I just want to see the number one guy fight for the belt. Gustafsson deserves it, man. DC won fair and square against him, but he gave him such a fucking fight, man. He should have got a rematch time ago. Mm. He never even got the rematch against John Jones, so I want to see people like that get fucking chance that they deserve. So for me,
Gustafsson
DC is the fight
I'd want to
see.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that makes me not want to see that over, obviously, the super fight, which I'd love to see at heavyweight, like, it'd be awesome, but it's the fact that, you know, Gustafsson lost to Rumble Johnson, then Rumble, you know, obviously retired after losing to DC,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of like Gustafsson's beat everyone else again, but he hasn't had that, like, now I'm ready for the belt fight. He beat Glover.
Yeah, that was impressive.
No disrespect to Glover, but I'm just saying.
That was awesome.
I'm just saying, yeah, I don't think he's improved enough. What's your problem, Marvel? But then you could say that first fight could have went either way. DC and Gustafsson, it was such a war.
Yeah, it was such a close one. And you know that Gustafsson's always going to give a good fight.
Yeah.
And it will be entertaining.
If he can stay healthy,
yeah,
I'd love to see it. Give another European a go.
Well, that's it. Maybe they should do it in Europe.
Yeah.
It'd be more exciting.
In winter. Great fight. Again, the crowd was awesome for this, chanting for DC throughout. I really loved it. Let's break down the rest of the card, boys. Break it down!
Cool. Well, the next one's the fight of the night, isn't it?
Yeah. It's hard to argue.
That's right.
It was Calvin Kattar versus Shane Burgos. And it was a real fucking battle. A real battle. And I tell you what, man, this Qatar guy really fucking impressed me, bro. Like, his striking was seriously on point. It was so, so crisp.
Yeah.
His 1-2s and his movement. He looked like a right fighter. I didn't know too much about him. And he took Shane Burgos home, man. He was 10-0 undefeated, and he was having none of it, man. There was back and forth. He did give him a struggle, but I thought Qatar landed shots over and over again, and then eventually knocked him out in the third round. So I was well impressed by this kid.
Yeah, me too, man. And the finish, I mean, what a KO that was.
Yeah.
The uppercut that knocked his head back. Like, I mean, this Burgos doesn't look like, you know, an easy step over.
Yeah.
No.
No, just saying these uppercuts seem to be infectious. Yeah. At the moment. Everyone's knocking people out with uppercuts.
His front kicks throughout the fight were really nice. And yeah, he had to work for it, and he had to put some power behind that to take him out.
Yeah, he really dominated him, though. 9 minutes of octagon control versus less than a minute for Shane Burgos.
Yeah. So. It was really, he dictated the fight. And, yeah, cannot wait to see Calvin Kattar again.
Yeah. It's funny, though. Significant strikes were actually incredibly equal.
Yeah.
But I remember watching the fight thinking Kattar was landing the crisper punches. He was landing more of the damaging shots, I felt.
Yeah, he was controlling it more. Yeah.
Yeah. Like
but it was definitely a good fight.
Like Burgos was feeling the punches a bit more, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Causing him more damage, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Awesome fight. I mean, I wasn't expecting much from these undercard fights, but they really lived up, I think.
Yeah, very good fights.
Other than maybe the next fight, it wasn't the best, but, you know, respect. Jan Vellante versus Francimar Barroso. Vellante ends up taking the split decision victory. It was very even again in strikes, and That's why it was a split, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't the most exciting fight, but Vellante gets another win back, you know. I feel like he could go on a run, you know, if he could get himself together a bit, sharpen his tools just a little bit more, step up the cardio, you know, stop hanging out with Chris Weidman. And yeah, it's like I'm happy for him. Like he seems cool, and he's got his head switched on.
Yeah, it was a decent performance. Not the most exciting fight for me, this one. But you know, entertaining. Both guys gave it their all, and you know, it was a decent fight, but not the best for me.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what you'd expect. You know, two big guys. One prefers to strike, the other prefers to grapple. But they're both sort of well rounded enough, not excelling in any one area. And yeah, they had a real battle. They gave it a real fucking go, and I was a little bit surprised that it was a split decision. I thought Vellante won it 2-1 fairly clearly.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was a decent enough fight. They both gave their all, but I don't think they'll be challenging for number one contenders or anything like that anytime soon.
No. Okay, well, the first fight of the main card.
Wow.
Thomas Almeida versus Rob Font.
Yeah.
Now, this was a good fight. This had a lot of fireworks in this fight. You know, Almeida, I think he was the heavy favourite on this one, right?
To me, I mean, I knew more about him.
Yeah, much bigger name. I thought he was, I was rooting him. I didn't really know too much about Rob Font before this fight, if I'm honest.
No.
He's been on a few cards, but quite low down on the cards.
Yeah.
But Rob Font impressed, man. He brought his A game. He knocked Almeida left, right and centre on this one.
Boston's own Rob Font.
Yeah, so he had the crowd behind him, man, and it showed.
He was enjoying every minute. You saw him in the back while Vellante was fighting. Vellante's from Boston as well.
Yeah.
And he was just cheering him on, like, in the back. Like, you know, that he was more happy to see him win after him as well, because it was kind of like they could share that moment in their hometown.
Absolutely, yeah. Boston, baby, Boston, baby.
Really fun fight, Eric?
Yeah, definitely. This was a sick fight. Thomas Almeida, he's a bit of a raw talent, and he had a big hype about him, a promising fighter. And ever since that Cody knockout, he's not really got the same.
Yeah.
But Rafon, actually, to be fair, I did know a little bit about him. I've seen his last couple fights, and his striking is really impressive, man.
Yeah.
He's got incredibly good head movement, footwork, and real sharp, straight punches. None of this looping punches. He's really, really good. And I remember back in October against Pedro Munhoz, he took a submission loss in the first round. where it was a scrap. They were scrapping. Pedro Munoz and Rob Font, they were really, really going at it. And he just got pipped and he went down and the guys was on the ground and he submitted him. But even in that loss he took, and it was in the first round, he still looked depressive. But in this fight, he looked like he stepped it up. And I think he should be climbing the ranks pretty quickly.
Yeah, man. Can't wait to see him again.
Yeah, I mean, that was a solid knockout, man. So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about the knockout.
Yeah, let's actually talk about the knockout. We haven't really...
The timing on his right hands leading up to it, like you said, Eric.
Absolutely, yeah. And when someone can punch that fast, you know how kind of refined their actual stand-up is.
Yeah.
And when you look at the stats as well, because Almeida is a good striker as well, real solid striker. But he only landed half as many punches as Rob Font. He landed 48 versus 24.
Yeah.
So that shows how actually skilled he is to, you know, outdo Almeida in that kind of sense, and speed and skill, and landing that many hits.
Yeah, and it was a right hand that hurt him first. Went down to the mat, gets back up and takes a head kick that he didn't see coming.
Man, what a kick! Isn't it? That head kick was insane.
And he was frozen, stuck in the mud after that, and it was just a matter of time. Just
finished him. Yeah, it's a great little combo that.
Mm.
It was a brutal head kick, though,
hey? Yeah, it's vicious. Some really good knockouts this event, you know.
Yeah, it was exciting.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. Just to give a quick little shout out to some of the prelim fights, in particularly Abdul Razak Al Hassan, who actually took a performance bonus as well, knocking out Saad Hamassi in the first round with an absolutely devastating right hook. And this guy. He's got a lot of potential. I like this guy a lot, man. He's built like a mini Hercules. He's absolutely shredded, and he throws with bad intentions. So he's an exciting fighter on the come up.
Yeah, I agree, man. He knocked that guy out, Hamassi. Yeah. Knocked him down really hard, man. He looked dead.
Well, he doesn't get paid by the minute. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking like, yeah, that really impressed me. So,
yeah, he's a scary dude, man. One to watch out for.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, for sure. And also, Kyle Bochynek got a decision victory.
Yeah.
And he's been racking up quite a few victories himself.
Yeah.
So he's impressive.
He's been sneaking up on these undercards, and I'm sure he'll get a main card slot soon. And yeah, he needs better competition, obviously. But yeah, really impressed with him.
Yeah, he's a good fighter.
Yeah, I'm just looking up here. So yeah, he's won 3 out of 4. So.
Do you guys want to talk about the Peruvian fight? Our fellow amigo. Our fellow amigo.
This is when I went to make my coffee at Bailey's.
Sure.
He went to make a Peruvian coffee instead.
I think we were just going back and forth discussing the main fights. We were so excited. We didn't pay attention to... It's a short-ass Barzola.
And even though I missed it live, actually, this Islam Makhachev, first fight, he's part of a Khabib's crew, and he won by knockout in the first round again, an absolute veteran, Gleison Tibau. And he's a promising fighter, I quite like him. He's had a few fights now in the UFC. I think he's taken one loss of like $5 in the UFC.
Yeah.
And, I like this guy a lot, man. He's got that sort of Dagestan grit.
He looks a lot like Khabib, doesn't he? Face.
Yeah. But yeah, he's got four victories out of five in the UFC. And yeah, I like the look of this kid.
Another little thing, I don't know if you guys caught it, but we saw just after the Almeida knockout, they cut to the crowd. And it was like these two big fat bald blokes just like having a beer, like with their back to the camera.
Yeah.
And it's like his mate goes, "Hey, mate, you're on the box." He turns around and it just has a priceless reaction, like,
hey, I'm on the TV.
And it just cracked me up, like, you know, Almeida got knocked out. He was thinking about his next beer. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
That was funny.
And it was good to see Machine Gun Kelly, who does Stipe's walkout. He was cheering him on in the front row, you know, fellow Cleveland head. And Yeah, that was good to see, man. He gets really up for the Stipe fights. It's like Cleveland cool. against the world, like when he fights. So. Yeah. Complicated, frustrated, underestimated, can't sleep. Mind racing hard to stay concentrated. Foreign towns, missing home. Please don't forget about me. Tell the story, all the glory. Fuck what they say about me.
Yeah, that's cool. I love that.
But shame the Cavaliers can't live up to it. But moving on. Great event, top to bottom.
What was your favourite fight of the night?
Favourite, for me, is DC, just because I love DC.
It was a great performance from DC.
Yeah, it was big for DC, no doubt.
Yeah, but Qatar was the one who got the money. And he was it's hard to take it from him. He needs it a bit more.
Yeah, I guess so.
We'll give Qatar a bit of love. Change your heart. Look around you. So, thanks for listening. I hope you like the new setup, the new sound quality, you know, we'll be promoting next time we'll be recording. We've got another little recording we've done, which is our special prestigious
awards
of the year. We're a little late on 2017, but there was a lot to take in, and there's a big action-packed episode coming your way soon, so stay tuned for that.
It's a lovely little recap, man. It's great to look back and review the whole year. And so much to talk about. And so many crazy shit that's going on in the UFC and MMA. So for sure, guys, check that out.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for doing this, guys. And
enjoyed it.
We'll see you next time, yeah?
Peace. One love.
Peace out.
For more podcasts, subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube at Three Amigos MMA, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Yes.